Morning, everyone. Hey, we have a lot of military families here and veterans. Thank you all for your service. We appreciate you so much. One of the things, Thank you. If you've been around the military any, you learn that the military loves acronyms. And so I'm going to just mention a couple of them, and if you know what these stand for, just wherever you're at, just shout it out. Oh, we'll start with some easy ones. MRE, meals, sort of meals, maybe meals, and then TDY. Temporary duty. Okay, those are the easy ones. Then there's some that are more rare, maybe seldom used, but also humorous. So I discovered this one. Anybody know what this one is? Fido. Somebody laughed. No, it's not a dog. Forget it, drive on. I think that's what I'm going to adopt. Fido! Just keep moving. And then I discovered there's a whole bunch of them that I can't use in church. Yep. Now, not only does the military use acronyms, but business does as well. Have you ever heard of VUCA? Okay, probably not, but businesses use this. VUCA stands for volatile, uncertain, complex, ambiguous. And businesses will use this when the business climate, as the future's developing, becomes really complex and chaotic. In other words, the business is looking ahead at the future and going, man, things are unpredictable, they're uncertain, they're unknowable, and then that creates all kinds of tension in how you try to be prepared for that. But that's not only for business, that's for life. Life is VUCA. Life is volatile. Life is uncertain. Life is complex. Life is ambiguous. And not only is the future unknown, uncertain, unpredictable, but also we know that we really can't control the future. We have all kinds of fears about tomorrow. All you got to do is watch cable news. You have plenty of fears that you can look at. We're always presented with the global threats. There's North Korea. There's Iran. There's Russia. There's China. And then more personally to us, there are the threats of tomorrow that could affect us in very real ways. That we could be laid off. The stock market could crash. We could experience a health issue that could put us in financial hardship. Or even financial ruin. Tomorrow, any of us can be sued by anyone for any reason. It's the world we live in. We worry about tomorrow in the sense that, will our kids be okay? Maybe something could happen to them. Tomorrow there can be things that we could never plan for today, like we could be robbed, our identity theft could be stolen, we could be in an accident. We don't know, but we know that's a possibility. Right now inside of us, there could be a cancer forming or an autoimmune disease or some other kind of disease that we don't even know is there, but tomorrow we get the diagnosis. How's that for encouragement? Aren't you glad you came today? Well, wish you good luck. For the last 3 weeks, we've been looking at this thing called fear and the fears that we face. And today I want to add another fear that we face. And we face this. And that's the fear of the future. It's the fear of tomorrow. It's the fear of what's next. And actually, Jesus knew that we were going to be afraid about what's next, the unknown, the uncertain, the unpredictable. And he speaks to it very directly. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. It's page 661 in the Bibles in the seats in front of you, Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Those of you who are with us online, we're so glad you're with us. We have an app there also so that you can follow along. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, It's the very end of this teaching of this chapter, because he begins with, therefore. So this is kind of the summary of what he's been talking about. He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't be afraid of tomorrow. The fact is, tomorrow's going to have its issues. It's there. But today's got enough stuff to deal with and focus on. And the reason I start here with Jesus' words is because I absolutely believe this, and I say this often. Anytime Jesus tells us to do something, anytime he commands us to do something, even if it's hard, it is possible. And so where I want to begin with this whole conversation is that it is possible to overcome the fear of tomorrow. It's a reality. It's something that's available to us. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to wrap up this series, What Keeps You Up at Night. Has this been a helpful series about fear? I hope so. I hope so. And what I want to do is just quickly recap what we've been talking about the last 3 weeks, and then we're going to look at this final fear, the fear of tomorrow. It's critical that we understand the nature of fear, because in understanding it, we're better able to overcome it. And here's what we've been looking at. First thing is this: we all experience fear. So this series hasn't been, you should never experience fear. We will. And the reason we will experience fear is because that's how God made us. This is so important. God created us with the capacity, with the ability to experience fear. Because when we face a situation that's dangerous, and we will, God created our bodies so that the adrenaline flows, we're more physically alert and prepared, our minds are ready to go into action, and that's absolutely healthy and normal. That's how God created us. It is appropriate at times to experience fear, and we will. And healthy fear, and this is what we've talked about, healthy fear, normal fear, is short-term. It's short-lived. It doesn't go on for a long time. Once the danger's passed, the fear is gone. Oftentimes, the fear is gone even before the whole danger's passed. It just gets us ready for that. But then there's an unhealthy kind of fear. And this unhealthy fear is often about things that haven't even happened yet. It's not like we're facing a danger in the moment. We are anticipating that something could go wrong or and so oftentimes our fear is about something that's not even real in the moment. And then that fear lingers. It goes on for a long time. It stays with us. And as it stays with us, what that fear does, it becomes a toxic kind of fear that robs us of the life that God intended. It can actually hurt our health and our well-being. It can cause us to make poor decisions. It robs us of joy and peace. And it actually can hinder us from being the very people that we want to be, from being like Jesus. And so what we've been saying in this series is this: we have a choice. We actually choose that lingering fear, or we can choose faith. And it's faith that helps us overcome those lingering, painful, damaging fears. It's possible to overcome fears. So what I want us to do is I want to look at this last fear. I want us to focus on what does faith look like that would help us overcome the fear of tomorrow, the fear of the future. And there's an incredible chapter in our Bible that just speaks to this so well. It's John chapter 16. It's on page 738 in your Bibles in the seats in front. I want you to turn that. I want you to hold that. We're going to look at a couple different scriptures there, John chapter 16. But first, let me give you the context of John chapter 16 while you're turning there. John chapter 16 is part of a section. It actually begins at chapter 13. Chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. 13 through 17 are all about the conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples the night before he's arrested and crucified. So this is an intense period of time, and Jesus is having some incredible conversations, some deep emotional conversations with his disciples here. And what he's telling them in this time is that he, in fact, is going to be arrested. He is going to be tortured. He is going to die. And he doesn't only just tell them what's going to happen to him, but in this conversation, he also says, I'm a target. Guess what? You're a target too. What's going to happen to me is going to make life much more difficult and dangerous for you. And what he's really telling them is that there is real danger ahead in tomorrow. He doesn't want them to be surprised. And so let's pick up the story in John chapter 16, the first two verses. John chapter 16, the first two verses. And here's what we read. All this I have told you, all this meaning chapters 13, 14, 15 already, all this I have told you that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. Whoa. Imagine if you were there in that room with Jesus. Here's what he's telling him. He's saying, look, I'm telling you this because this is going to happen. You're going to be excluded from your community. That's what means being kicked out of the synagogue. You're going to be excluded from your community. You're going to be rejected. And some of you are going to be killed. And the people who kill you, they think they're doing God a service. Now, if you just stop here, you go, all Jesus has done is make this even more scary for them. You see, Jesus knows that they're going to face some difficulties. And he knows that they need to have a strong faith that will take them through the fear of what they're facing. And so he wants to help strengthen their faith so that they can overcome their fear. And this forms the first half of the point that I want to make today. And here's the first half. We don't know the troubles of tomorrow. And what I mean by that is there will be troubles tomorrow. We just don't know the specifics. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know where it's going to happen. We don't know any of the details. We just know that there is going to be some troubles tomorrow. We just don't know the details of that. And again, if we stop there, we go, well, how does that help us overcome fear? That just makes the fear more significant, makes it even greater. Let's keep reading. I want you to jump down to verse 20. By the way, I encourage you to read this whole chapter. It's an amazing chapter, but we don't have time to look at every single piece of this. I want to hit the main key points there. Go down to verse 20, John chapter 16, verse 20, and this is what he says. Very truly I tell you, remember he's talking to his disciples, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. What he's saying is trouble's coming. You're going to grieve. You're going to mourn. There's lots to be afraid of in one sense. It doesn't look good. But there's also this piece of hope. He says, because you're grieving will actually turn to joy. And then if you follow what Jesus said, Jesus uses an example of childbirth to explain what he means by that. He describes what many of the moms here know. When you were in delivery, when you were giving birth, you experienced pain that at least half or more of us here don't even have a clue about. But in normal circumstances too, once the child was born, that pain was replaced by an incredible joy. And when Jesus is using that analogy, that illustration, that example, he's talking actually about himself. What he's saying is, they are going to crucify me. I am going to die, and it's going to create all kinds of chaos for you. That's pain. But I'm not going to stay dead. Yeah, they're going to kill me. They're going to put me in a tomb, but I will rise from the dead. The resurrection will happen. And when I am alive and standing in front of you, your grief will turn into an incredible joy. There's our hope. We're going to have trouble. They were going to have trouble. They were going to be persecuted. They would even face death. But Jesus is going to rise from the dead. And go down to the very end of the chapter, verse 33. Here's where he brings it all together. This is the conclusion again to this chapter. Verse 33, chapter 16 of John. I have told you these things so that in me you will have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. There it is. Yes, you're going to have trouble in this world, but I have overcome the world. Jesus overcame it all. He overcame sin. He overcame death. That's ultimately what we ultimately fear, and he overcame all of that. And what he's saying is that we can have joy. Our joy, our grief will turn to joy. He's saying here, in me you can have peace. Our joy and our peace, we can have that in the face of that which is unpredictable, that which is uncertain, that which is unknown. How is that? It's because we have faith in Jesus, who is alive and who is with us. We can have joy and peace not after the trouble goes away, but in the midst of the trouble. That's incredible. There's always going to be conflict. We're always going to feel the effects of the sin of ourselves and of others. They're going to damage us in some ways. There's always going to be the difficulties and the disappointment, suffering and pain. But Jesus is saying in the midst of all of those troubles, we can have faith which will move us through that. Now, there's three things that I think Jesus points us to that actually then end up forming the faith that helps us overcome the fear of whatever tomorrow will bring. I want to look at each of those. So fact number one that forms our faith. Fact number one that forms our faith, Jesus is alive and in control. He is alive and he's in control. Jesus rose from the dead. He's alive. And there's no power on earth that's greater than his ability as God. He conquered death. There's no other greater power. He defeated the evil one. There's no other power. And so Jesus is sitting at the throne of the universe. And there is, as God, there is no power that can equal him or rival him or take away his powers. He is victorious. And troubles will come tomorrow. They will come. But we have nothing to fear. Because he already has it all under control. He was there in the past. He's here in the present. He's there in the future. He knows it all. He's in control. He determines how everything ultimately will end. And because Jesus was raised from the dead, we know that when we die, which is the thing that we ultimately fear, when we die, we will be with Jesus if we have faith. And while we live, it's not just then, while we live now, we are with Jesus because he is alive. And that's a powerful faith that helps us overcome fear. Fact number two that forms our faith. Our God has been to our tomorrow. Okay, you grammarians are already uncomfortable. That's an illogical sentence. I said, our God has been, past tense, to our future, that's to our tomorrow, that's future tense. That doesn't work. But we're not talking about human logic, we're talking about God, who's far greater than anything we can possibly grasp or understand. Here is the reality. God is above time and space. He's not limited by time and space. I am here on this stage, right in this one place, right now. I'm not somewhere else, thank God. And I'm not in the future, I'm not in the past, I'm right here, right now. That's because I'm a human. I'm limited to this place right now. But God isn't limited spatially to where he is. He's everywhere, and he's not limited by time. God has already been to our tomorrow, and our tomorrows don't surprise him at all. There's nowhere God has not already been. And then the last point, fact number three that forms our faith, we're not alone. Fact one, he is alive and in control. Fact number two, he's already been to our tomorrow. Fact three, he's not leaving us alone. Whatever tomorrow brings, he will be there with us. I encourage you to read the whole 16th chapter of John, because in this chapter, repeatedly, Jesus reminds his disciples that yes, he will be crucified. He will rise from the dead. But then after a time, he's going to go back and be with his Father. He will not physically be present with them. But he says, you will not be alone. He says, I will send to you the Holy Spirit. In this chapter, he calls the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, our advocate. I love that phrase. Now, don't think of advocate as a lawyer. Rather, it just simply means that God, the Spirit of God, will stand alongside of us to help us and guide us through whatever tomorrow brings. We're not alone. When that tomorrow comes, when the troubles of tomorrow come, he will be with us to help us and guide us through whatever we face. And if God is standing with me, what do I have to fear? Years ago in a previous election, I was in the gym exercising, and this woman from our church came up to me, and tears were pouring down her face. And her first words were something like, it's all over. And I said, what's over? And she thought at that point that the person that she wanted to be president of the United States might lose. And if that person lost, she was sure it was all over. That America would no longer exist. And she went on just to give me a list of all the horrible things that were going to happen if her choice of president. And she's sobbing through all of this. Now, I knew she loved Jesus. I knew she believed the Bible. And I'm listening to this. And finally, I said, wait a minute, stop. I want to tell you something. No matter who is or isn't president of the United States, doesn't change the fact that God is still on the throne. You may not like what happens if your choice doesn't get elected, but guess what? God has been through this a bunch of times. And some of those characters were far worse than anything you could imagine. You see, Jesus is alive. He is in control. He's already seen the future, and he's not going to leave us alone. That's the basis of our faith that helps us face the fears of whatever tomorrow might bring. And so here's my full point. We don't know the troubles of tomorrow, but we know the God of tomorrow. He is good. He is all-powerful. He is faithful. He will not abandon us. We can face whatever tomorrow brings because we serve a God who stands beside us, who is so greater than anything that tomorrow can ever bring us. No matter how hard it is, no matter how bad it is, we are not going to be alone as we face it. With Jesus at our side, we can choose faith over fear. I faced the fear of tomorrow just like you have many, many times. I think back to a number of years ago. Some of you don't know this, but my previous role here was that I was the executive pastor here at Pantano. And I loved that role. I loved our church. I loved being able to serve our church that way. I especially loved being able to serve my lead pastor at that time. Many of you remember him, Tim Koop. And so in that role, after I got used to it the first couple years, what I discovered was I came into a season of incredibly deep gratitude. I can remember daily in this season praying, God, thank you for this ministry. Thank you for this job. I love it. I love being able to serve our church and being able to serve Tim. And God, thank you for allowing me to do this. And by the way, God, thank you. It's so easy. I could do it with my eyes closed. You know, God listens to our prayers. And I heard very clearly, numerous times, yeah, I didn't call you to live an easy life. And he didn't stop there. And this, I didn't hear an audible voice, but the message was unmistakably clear. He said, I need you to move out of the safe place of being in the second chair, and I'm calling you to be a lead pastor. And I'll be real honest, immediately there was fear of the future. I said on numerous times, no, I'm not going down that road. Now, why would I be afraid to be a lead pastor of a church? Well, if any of you have been in church for very long, you know that it can be difficult. You have to sometimes make unpopular decisions that people don't like. And I knew that in the lead pastor role, all of those hard decisions, all of the responsibility ultimately fall back on me. You know, it's the proverbial, the buck stops here. As executive pastor, I still had to make hard decisions. I still had to deliver bad news at times. But in the end, it ultimately went back to the lead pastor. It was ultimately, because he hired me, it was his fault, you know. Right? But when you're the lead pastor, you got no one to default to. And I went to a place of what ifs. You ever done that? What if? What if I mess up? What if people don't like me and leave? What if I'm not able to lead through the hard times? What if I don't have what it takes? And then there were a whole bunch more of what ifs, what ifs, what ifs. And I had to face the reality. Am I going to let the fear of the future, all the hardship and troubles that I might be inheriting, control me, or would I choose faith? And would I trust the one who is calling me into this uncertain future? A future that was unpredictable, uncertain, unknown. Did I really believe that Jesus is alive, that he's in control, that he's already seen my tomorrow, and that he's not going to leave me alone? Do I really have faith? Well, let me tell you how it ends. The number one rule of an executive pastor is to not want the job of the lead pastor. Roger, did you hear that? Roger's our executive pastor. There he is. Roger spoke last week. Great job, by the way. And I took that rule very seriously. I did not want the job of my good friend, Tim Koop. But God was clearly calling me to be a lead pastor. And so I decided to have a conversation with him. And when I talked with Tim, I said, it was just Tim and I said, God's calling me. I told him the same thing. Number one rule of an executive pastor, I don't want your job. I don't want your job. But God's calling me to be a lead pastor somewhere. And I want you to know I'm not unhappy here. I love our church. I love working with you. There's nothing you could do to fix anything. It's incredible. That's what got me into this place. I was too thankful for how good it was. but God's calling me to this place. Folks, that conversation was an act of faith. It's out there. No turning back. At that point, I'm trusting God with my future. Now, something happened that I never even dreamed of. I never saw it coming. I didn't even pray that this would be a possibility, which was dumb on my part. After we were finished, after I was finishing up my part of the conversation, Tim said, "I'd like to develop a plan of succession where you could become the lead pastor here." I think back to that time. What if I had never had that conversation? What if I had just secretly went off and tried to find a job somewhere else? But I trusted God and I trusted Tim to have the conversation. That's faith. And then the result was that 12 years ago, I became the lead pastor here at Pantano, something I never saw happening. And as anticipated, there have been times when it's been really hard. There have been times it was incredibly painful and very costly. But in each one of those challenging moments, when the troubles came, God was there with me. I was never, ever alone. This is the basis of our faith. We don't know the troubles of tomorrow, but we know the God of our tomorrow. That's the basis of our faith. And through all the troubles, all the attacks, all the challenges of the last 12 years, I've never been alone. Never. The Spirit of God, my advocate, has been standing with me, guiding me through all of the difficulties. And so today, as then, and today as well, I choose faith over fear. Here's what I want you to take away today. I want to share with you one verse that I want you to reflect on. In fact, I want to challenge you to memorize this verse. I'll give it to you in just a second. But I want to tell you why I want you to memorize it. When we memorize God's word, this comes from God. When we memorize his word, it goes into our mind. And then the Holy Spirit, our advocate, joins. So here it is. The verse that we're memorizing comes from God, and then God sent us his Spirit, and the Spirit and the Word come together inside of us, and that's powerful to change us and transform us. And so there are times that the memorization of Scripture has an incredible power to change us. And here's the verse that I want you to look at. It's found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6, page 824. Let me share it with you. "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" God is my helper. He's my advocate. He's standing right with me to help me. I will not be afraid. What can mere people do to me when the God of the universe is standing with me and for me? I want you to repeat those words with me out loud. We're going to put the words on the screen. For those of you who are with us online, I know these moments can be a little awkward. Online, as we say these words out loud, I want you to join us and say the words out loud. If you're alone, that's no problem. If there's people around you, they'll get it. They'll figure it out. Don't worry about them. What can mere mortals do to you? Don't worry about it. And so I want you to just repeat with me, say out loud these words of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" What can mere mortals do to me? Tomorrow will bring its challenges, I guarantee it. But the risen Jesus is with us to help us overcome the fear of whatever tomorrow will bring. We don't have to fear tomorrow. Let go of fear. Live in faith. Live in freedom. Live in the freedom from the very thing that we're afraid of, fear itself. Would you stand and would you declare that in song?